Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, on our last show, we reviewed the five peak performances from the third quarter of the 2016 season, games 9 through 12. Now we'll review those four games in a little bit more detail here as we go through quarter number three. And unfortunately, game number 9 started much like game number 8, which was the loss to Indianapolis. The Packers go to Tennessee 1 week after giving up a 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to open the game. And then in this game, DeMarco Murray takes the first handoff for the Tennessee Titans when they get the ball on offense, and he marches right down the field 75 yards for a touchdown, and the Packers are down 7-0.
Yeah, right, it was a tough position for the Packers to be in, because literally 40 seconds before that touchdown run, Jake Ryan, who I think a lot of people would agree is probably their best run-stopping linebacker, certainly their most experienced, he goes down on a special teams play with an ankle injury and doesn't return. So suddenly you have Joe Thomas, Blake Martinez, and everybody else thrown in there trying to adjust in that nickel defense. Murray gets past the first line there, and as we've seen for so long with him in his NFL career, once you get him to the second level, what he can do. And a tough way for the Packers to start it, and yes, very much like in the same form of that game against Indianapolis, a big play right off the start, and Tennessee really used that to catapult them throughout that first half.
Yeah, we saw right away how much Tennessee was putting into this game. They looked at this game against the Packers as a big one for them in terms of their push to try to win the AFC South and get into the playoffs. They start the game kicking off, and they try an onside kick. Yeah. Joe Thomas for the Packers, the linebacker, fortunately was Johnny on the spot, heads up there, gets the recovery. The Packers are in great field position to begin the game. But they go three and out. A third down pass to Randall Cobb that would have moved the chains doesn't connect there, and the Packers have to punt. And then, as you mentioned, Jake Ryan gets hurt on the punt, and then the first play with DeMarco Murray is a 75-yard touchdown. And we had talked when we were reviewing the second quarter of the season and talking about that Indianapolis game and Aaron Rodgers mentioning the mental toughness that this Packers team needed. We heard after this game Dom Capers talking about how that opening 75-yard touchdown run really kind of knocked the defense off kilter for really the rest of the first half.
Right.
The Titans ended up scoring four touchdowns on their first four drives of the game, ended up with 35 points by halftime, and it was as though the defense never recovered from that one big haymaker they took right away. And that was just another example of the evolution of this team. Those were the types of things they started to overcome a lot more later in the season. But in this stage of the season, these were the difference makers, and they couldn't come back from it.
Yeah, and that first quarter is, you know, going to go down, I'm sure the coaching staff would agree, is, you know, one of the toughest that they encountered this season.
Yeah.
Down 21-0, four or three touchdowns on three possessions for Tennessee. And then you look at the Packers, three consecutive punts, only 17 total yards. Also mixed in that as well was the muff punt. What was tough for them is that you get off to a start like that. That should have been a big momentum builder for the Packers. I mean, okay, Tennessee's trying to catch you off guard. You have a heads-up linebacker making a good play. You get the ball, I think it was like at the 40, almost right around midfield, 49.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go three and out. Really takes the air out of the balloon, and then Tennessee certainly bounces back and plays. I was personally really impressed by what I saw from the Titans. Marcus Mariota, I thought, showed a lot of poise for a young quarterback. Certainly has the mobility, but showed he can also throw from the pocket. Delanie Walker, I think the league has seen what he can do and the kind of difference maker he's been specifically since he's gotten to Tennessee. And it was a lot for the Packers to overcome. And again, like I just said, the Titans really used that fast start to kind of steer them the rest of the way in a big victory.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, they kind of threw everything they had at the Packers. The onside kick to start the game, we saw DeMarco Murray with a halfback pass for a touchdown. They were pulling out all the tricks, all the stops. They were going to get this home victory. Now, that's not to make any excuses for the Packers. You have to rise to the challenge. You have to be able to counter that, especially on the road. You know, that Nashville crowd was pretty fired up. There were a lot of Packer fans there that day as well.
Yeah.
But boy, they kept that segment of the crowd awfully quiet for a long time because Tennessee was really just in control right from the start and never let up.
Well, again, if you look at your blueprint for how you want to start a football game, other than the missed onside kick, Tennessee Tennessee got everything. They checked off all the boxes. And being able to not only take away whatever Packer fans were there, but also get their own fan base energized, there was a lot on the line here for Tennessee. Because you got to remember, a week earlier than that, Green Bay lost to Indianapolis. They're in the thick of things there with Indianapolis and Houston at this time. They have to kind of match them after that victory that they got over Green Bay and be able to keep pace in that. They ended up finishing 9-7 on the season. I think they made some big strides in Dick LeBeau's second year there. And offensively, you saw kind of the fruit sort of come to bear a little bit with what they've been doing with Marcus Mariota. And unfortunately for the Packers, just came up on the short end of it that day.
Yeah, well, we've got plenty more from the third quarter of the 2016 season to review. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkiewicz there, Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, moving on through the third quarter of the 2016 regular season, game number 10, the Packers go to Washington, D.C., Sunday night football against the Redskins at FedEx Field. Packers have a three-game losing streak, and unfortunately that streak gets stretched to four as Green Bay's offense definitely comes to life a little bit, but playing from behind as the defense had its struggles with Kirk Cousins and all of his weapons on Washington's offense.
Yeah, they certainly did. And this was kind of a frustrating game in the way of the Packers, again, getting off to a slow start, three consecutive punts to start the game for 9 total yards. And on the other side of it, the defense actually held up pretty well. The first two series, they forced punts, but then they kind of got things moving. And even though they were kind of in it, when you look at halftime, and it was sort of, it could have gone either way, Washington comes out of the second half and just strikes fire. Cousins ended up, I think, having around 140 passer rating that day. They did such a good job of containing Kelly for most of the afternoon, but then he has a big yard carry, I think, for 60-some yards. Big completion to Pierre Garçon. It just kind of unraveled in the end. But I know, and I remember talking to guys before this game, I remember discussing it with players afterwards. They felt so confident going into this. And even though it was a loss, and even though they didn't come up on the winning end of it, and it was going to be another week until they started their winning streak, you started to see the turnaround develop. And it really was, as you mentioned, with the offense.
Yeah, the Packers were in this game late in the third quarter. The offense had gotten going. They kept scoring and getting back within one touchdown, 6 or 7 points, dealing with that type of deficit. But the Redskins just kept hitting them with big plays, the 70-yarder to Garçon. You mentioned the long 60-yard run by Rob Kelly. The defense just wasn't able to, you know, halt that barrage of big plays at that time, and it cost the Packers a victory that you know, could have been there for the taking. And this was a rematch of the wild card playoff game from January at FedEx Field. So you knew the Redskins were fired up there to get a little bit of revenge, and they certainly got it. And what I remember the most, as I've talked about on previous shows from this game, is Mike McCarthy going to the podium after this game. The Packers are 4-6. They've lost 4 in a row. And he says, hey, you know, when you're at 6 losses, your backside, to keep this a family show, your backside is up against the wall now. Yeah. And the Packers knew exactly where they were when they got on that plane coming home that night from Washington, that at 4-6, the margin for error was gone.
Right. It was, Mike. And this is where I think, not to say that the urgency wasn't already there, I'd say going into that game they knew what the situation was, but this is where it was like, okay, we have no more gimmies, there's no more mulligans, you have to go for it. And getting into this, and we talked about it on our last episode, Jared Cook is such an important part of that equation too. 6 catches for 105 yards and a touchdown. I remember Aaron Rodgers going to the podium afterwards and really talking about how this offense is going to be different with Jared Cook back in this thing. And it took a few more weeks. I mean, there wasn't like he was just putting up 80 yards every week, but you had to start taking account for him, and you had to really start respecting the middle of the field. And when the Packers were going through some of their doldrums, that's where they really weren't able to penetrate much. They were having difficulty finding openings there and finding big plays. Jared Cook opened that up, along with a lot of other things for this offense going forward.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers has pointed to this game, the Washington game, even though it was a loss, as the one where he really started to feel the confidence because he felt the offense was coming around. And his overarching point was that with the offense coming around, if they could get off to fast starts in games, get the lead, give their defense a little bit of a cushion, a little bit of a margin for error, give the defense some confidence to be able to take the field with a lead to protect instead of just trying to hang on, that things could really start to turn around. And that's what prompted him to go to his locker on the Wednesday after the Washington game and speak to reporters and say, I think we can run the table. I really do. I'm curious, when you heard him say that, what were your thoughts at the time?
Well, first off, I wasn't surprised because, I mean, we're talking about an ultra-competitive, ultra-confident quarterback, and he should be. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers' track record. It speaks to what he's been able to accomplish throughout the course of his career. Those accolades don't come by accident. The most efficient passer in NFL history, that's not a coincidence. But I think the one thing is that it sort of changed the narrative because at that point in time, everybody was just talking about how, well, it looks like they're just going to be trying to play this thing out.
Yeah.
And in some ways, it did remind me of 2013. Now, it is different. Aaron Rodgers was healthy. He was there. You had Randall Cobb, where in 2013, he was out with a broken leg. It's a different scenario, but in a way, it still kind of reminded me of that because they really had to dig down deep, and there wasn't a lot of margin for error. Actually, there was really no margin for error, and they responded. So when I heard him say that, my initial reaction was, you know what? That makes sense. I don't know what the chances are of them winning six straight to finish this thing out, but if Aaron Rodgers is saying it, typically he's going to make sure that they're going to be able to, you know, produce on that word.
Yeah, I mean, I'll piggyback off of what you said on our last show when we were talking about the comment that Rodgers made, and it's that he brought on all the pressure, all the burden onto himself and just said, hey, I believe in this team. I know that we can win. And when he's saying that and everybody knows how important he is, it's like so much of it is going to fall on him. If he didn't perform and didn't live up to it, it was going to be very hard for the Packers to put together any kind of winning streak. And he just welcomed it.
Yeah, and also keep in mind, too, he wasn't just putting it out there for no reason. McCarthy talked about it. He talked about it. They had seen the positive signs in practice. They had seen where they were having success. It just wasn't translating to victories. It was translating to losses. And at some point, if you keep doing the right things, it is going to flip the table.
Yeah. Well, with that, Wes, we'll take another break and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, as we continue our review of the third quarter of the 2016 regular season, we are at game 11. It's Monday night in Philadelphia, a few days here after Aaron Rodgers makes his run the table comment. He goes out there and backs it up, puts together a tremendous performance to lead the team to a victory, to snap that four-game losing streak, even injures his hamstring along the way, but plays through it. That the injury issues become something he has to deal with for a few weeks after this. But a game the Packers absolutely had to have, and Aaron Rodgers came up big.
He did. I mean, this is, I think, as you said in one of our previous episodes, probably one of the best performances he's had, particularly this season, even if, you know, the 116.7 passer rating doesn't truly reflect that, although the day that you can shake your head at 116 passer rating is the day that you're in good graces. So, but he was so incredibly efficient. And we talked about some of the passes that he had with Davante Adams, some of the things they were able to manufacture. This was the game where they pulled it all together, Mike. When you go back through it and look at it, I mean, there weren't a lot of possessions. You had to make them count. The Packers scored on their first two, both 75-yard series, 19 total plays. It was the start they needed after having such a difficult time igniting over that past four-game losing streak.
Yeah. And I give the Packers defense some credit here, too, because after the Packers opened with a touchdown drive, Philadelphia came right back.
Yeah.
The rookie Carson Wentz, bing, 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 right down the field. He answers with a touchdown drive. It looked like the Packers defense was on its heels a little bit, but then the defense settled down. And kind of what Rodgers talked about, the Packers gave them the lead right back. So the defense had a little bit of cushion to work with, and you know, Clinton Dix gets a big interception, I believe, at the start of the third quarter of Wentz there. And the Packers really kind of stayed in control. And then the biggest help to the defense was the 8-minute, 21-second 8-minute, 21-second drive in the fourth quarter, took 17 plays, 78 yards, a couple of 20-plus yard passes to Jordy Nelson that converted on a 3rd and 12 and also converted on a 4th and 5.
Yeah.
The Packers go down, take all that time off the clock, and kick a field goal to go up by 14 points, and really sealed this one in impressive fashion.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And there's a lot of stuff to get out there, as you were just talking about. I mean, it was that kind of game, though. I mean, it was just so meticulous, and it really came down to being able to keep the, you know, keep the sticks moving for the most part. I mean, the thing that impresses me too, yeah, they got the interception from Clinton Dix. They end up settling for a field goal on that, but then they come back with their next drive. I mean, the 17 play 82 yard series, that was huge. I mean, that was the game right there. That's what shut the door. But the 13 play 58 yard series before that was another one of those that had ended up sapping 6 minutes and 28 seconds off the clock. Those were time, that was time in which Carson Wentz and that offense had to sit down. I mean,
yep.
It was all on the Packers. It was all on them kind of draining Philadelphia's defense. And we'd heard so much going into that game about the job that Jim Schwartz had done with that unit. He did an exemplary job when you look at the season and the year that they had and the production that they had out of their playmakers. But this was a game where the Packers needed to come in and control the tempo, really set the tone. And Aaron Rodgers and the offense accomplished that.
Yeah, and the bad news coming out of this game for the Packers, not just Rodgers dealing with the hamstring injury, which became, you know, an issue for the next couple of weeks, but Clay Matthews takes that blindside hit from Alan Barber, a former Packer, really messes up his shoulder, and something that he then had to play through for the rest of the season. And I think it's safe to say that Clay Matthews wasn't really the Clay Matthews that we've seen over the bulk of his career. That was a tough injury to deal with.
It was, especially after he'd just shaken off the hamstring injury that kind of forced him to the sidelines. I think it was the first three games of the season. Sustained that in week two against Minnesota. Was a huge injury for him to overcome. And again, we did see some playmaking from him down the stretch. There were a couple really marquee performances that he had, but largely in the weeks after this, kind of was resorted to being just a third down rusher.
Yeah. With that, Wes, let's take care of some sponsor business. At home or here in the stands, we all know that Green Bay fans give it their all, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky chicken, broccoli, cheese. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we wrap up our review of quarter number 3 of the 2016 regular season, game number 12. Now, the Packers have been on the road for 3 straight weeks. The losing streak stretches to 4 games. It snaps in Philadelphia as the Packers get back on the winning track. They come back home at 5-6 to face the Houston Texans at Lambeau Field. A little bit of snow greeted the visitors from Texas, and AFC South leading team coming into Green Bay, and the Packers get a very, very important victory. Wasn't pretty, nothing fancy about it, but 21-13 in the winter conditions, kind of your classic Lambeau Field winter victory, and you know, the Packers got themselves back to 500 here at 6-6.
There were 3 things in this game that really stand out to me, Mike. First and foremost, this is where the pendulum shifted. This is where Ty Montgomery was starting to become the featured back. It was only, I think, 6 carries for 40 yards, but it's what set up, you know, the weeks to come and the impact he was going to have with this offense. 2, Jordy Nelson proving that he's the best cold weather receiver, I think, of this generation. I don't know if you remember that day much, but it was slippery. It was a weird snow.
Yeah.
It was like a mushy kind of, it snowed, but then it just turned to water. It was weird, and it did weird things to the stadium and weird things to the field, but he ended up still having a 100-yard performance. I think he might have had as many receiving yards in that game, I think, as any other Packers, the other Packers receivers combined.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, really want to just touch on that special teams and how they were able to control the field position. We talked about it with Jake Shum's performance, but also this is where Randall Cobb was being used as a punt returner again, 2 returns for 44 yards. This is where Ty Montgomery had a 39-yard return. Jeff Janis had a 39-yard return. The Packers averaged, I think the starting line was like 38 their own 38-yard line in this game was so important in those conditions to be able to have that kind of positive yardage working in their favor.
Yeah, the game started out tremendously for Green Bay. A forced fumble off a pass completion to the Texans' tight end. The Packers scoop it up. The offense gets great field position. Yeah. But then they drive down and end up fumbling a snap inside the 5-yard line. The conditions obviously, you know, playing a factor right away in the beginning of the game. You really regretted the Packers didn't take advantage of that opportunity right off the bat. But by the same token, they bounced back from that. They didn't let that bother them. They didn't let that missed opportunity bother them too much. And I remember in the second half, the play where the Houston defender fell down and Jordy Nelson is kind of standing wide open in the end zone. Aaron Rodgers sees him and throws it, and Nelson kind of has to wait for the ball to get there. He catches it, and that really becomes the touchdown that seals this one.
Yeah, and it was. And it was just him stepping up in that second half the way he did. And it was so difficult for everybody. I mean, you looked at some of the guys from Houston, and it's not to say they didn't want to be there, but it just they weren't accustomed to those conditions. I remember looking that stuff up beforehand and trying to figure out the last time they'd played an even really a what you could consider to be a cold weather game at that point of the year. And it was just the worst conditions possible. It ended up being, 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It was right above freezing and everything was just kind of turning to mush. But for the Packers' perspective, really responded the way they needed to. And when Aaron Rodgers needed someone to step up, lo and behold, there's Jordy Nelson to do it for them.
Yeah, and you could see the conditions having an impact on a team from the South. Houston, as I mentioned, the fumble right away at the beginning of the game. Also some drop passes where they had an opportunity to stay in this game and get some key third down conversions and perhaps put a little more pressure on that Packers defense, but they weren't able to do it. And the Packers really, this was also a game they kind of reestablished that home field advantage that they had then the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, and the plays started happening. The takeaways started happening for the defense. Ladarius Gunter punching that ball out, as you talked about, on the tight end, being able to start getting those things going, as we'll probably be talking about in the episodes to come, a nice wave of momentum that was starting to finally shift for a Packers defense that had faced so much adversity throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, well, that gets us through the third quarter of the 2016 regular season, Wes, and that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter, at Wes Hodd, at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.